All right, here we are again. This is Greg Verga along with Rick Moore at Unfinished Music on MSO News Sports Radio. And today our guest is Chelsea Berry. I almost said Chelsea Clinton, but she's not until next week. So, Chelsea Berry, welcome to Unfinished Music. Let's Chelsea Berry with your mic on this time. Welcome to Unfinished Music.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. So why don't we go right into a song?
Yeah. Lived my life somewhere between brave and crazy, but I've got no one to save, and no one here to save me. Walking the wire is my desire, my mother in me. And I don't know any other way to be. I was born a dreamer, optimistic to a fault, never heeding warnings from those who had been there and done that and had it all figured out. Paying a price even though the advice came to me for free. But I don't know any other way to be. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. Does it surprise you, baby? No one has ever loved me for myself. Always tried to change me, rearrange me into someone else. Ooh, 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 someone else. Like a queen, you'll hold me like a lover. I wanna give you everything. There's no doubt in this, baby. You'll bring out the best in me and love me for who I am and who I wanna be. I wanna make you feel the way you make me feel, so free. I don't know any other way. Ooh, any other way to be. Ooh, any other way to be.
Wonderful. Nice job, Chelsea. So why don't you tell us a bit about that song, and then we've got a ton of other questions for you.
All right. That song, that one came out, I guess, about a year ago. And it actually came out while I was on a hike in the Catskills in New Hampshire. I went up for a hike at about 7 o'clock at night and packed my sleeping bag and my tent and everything. And I always carry my notebook with me when I hike, which is kind of backpackers would say that's not a good thing because it's added weight. But for me, it's necessary added weight. So forego a Snickers bar for that, you know. So anyway, I packed my notebook, and not too far along past the trailhead, I started kind of singing this kind of bluesy thing to myself, and was thinking a bit about how a lot of people would think that going out by yourself in the woods at night is a crazy thing. But for me, it's just fun. And I just don't know how to do anything other than what I'm doing. So
and
wrote
you did,
a song about it.
And you didn't have to cut your arm off with a pocket knife.
I did not. I saw that movie. That was really screwed up and terrifying. And I do climb as well. I rock climb, but I don't go alone.
Smart thinking.
What do your parents think about that?
Oh, well, they started it, actually. So
going alone at night, it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
So I know you've got something very exciting you want to talk about, so why don't we jump right into that?
I'm pregnant.
You heard it here first.
Okay, just kidding. Yes. Yeah, I have a Kickstarter campaign, which is kind of like having a baby. Maybe we should just get away from that right now. So anyway, I launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund a new record. That last song will be on that record. And we launched it something like 27 days ago. And we've got 4 days left. And actually, partway through this interview, that clock will tick down to 3 days. And we are right now at something like 95% funded, which is super, super exciting.
Right.
Yeah.
So people out there who want to push this over the edge, just how do they search?
The easiest thing to do is to go to Kickstarter.com and then put Chelsea Berry into the search, mm-hmm. or you can go to ChelseaBerry.com, and right on that homepage, you'll see a link that says, you know, Chelsea Berry Kickstarter, and you can click on that.
Excellent. I mean, how historic it would be if right here on this show we can announce that you've gone over.
And
if we announce that she's gone over, don't stop contributing, because they let you at Kickstarter go over your goal.
Yes. So, but they don't let you go under, and so we haven't really said much about that, but it is always a little bit scary, mm-hmm. you know, because Kickstarter is a unique sort of all-or-nothing platform, and if you don't make your funds, you don't get anything.
Right.
Which I think is brilliant because for a number of reasons. One, it sort of, you know, gets people to contribute, but also I wouldn't want to make a record on less than I thought I had to make it on.
Right,
you know,
right.
You don't want to give people something that you're not feeling good about and excited about. And
so for the sake of people listening, in the old days, you know, EMI or one of the big companies would give the Beatles whatever they wanted to mm-hmm. do to make an album in as much time. But so for $18,000, what is that going to get for you?
A new pair of roller skates.
Yeah, all right, great.
And yeah, and a puppy and a house to put the puppy in. I think we've sort of worked it out so that we'll be able to do probably 10 tracks, you know, between 10 and 12 tracks. I want to do it in a studio that probably a studio I haven't been to before, and probably with an engineer I haven't worked with, and mm-hmm. and with a producer I haven't worked with. And now that this is coming together, all of these what ifs are actually becoming
right.
a reality, which is exciting. So, so that funding goes towards paying a producer and someone to arrange string sections for a couple of the songs. I want to have a cellist and
yeah,
a viola,
yeah.
maybe an upright bass, violin, you know. You know, obviously studio time and paying other musicians. And then the rest of it goes to actually having the record printed and having it mastered mm-hmm. and having it, you know, all those other things that you might not think about, but they're absolutely a part of a package. Just as, you know, when you go on stage, part of who you are as a brand, you know, the Chelsea Berry brand is not just the music, but it's, you know, me going up there and actually having taken a shower and fixed my hair yeah. and put on, you know, made myself presentable to be on stage, and the personality that comes out and this and the sort of, you know, conversation that goes on between you and the audience. These are all pieces and parts that may not even, you know, when you think of Chelsea Berry music, you think of music, but there are all these other pieces that go in as well. And so having, you know, having the funds to not just sit down and make a record, but to make it and then to to package it beautifully and right. really make it accessible to people is really important.
And there are, I forget the phrase they use on Kickstarter, incentives, gifts, or...
backer, oh my gosh.
There is a term, but you,
rewards.
Rewards, that's it. So, you know, if you give certain levels, you get for a download or a copy of the CD or whatever.
So. My favorite one, so I wanted to post something for a dollar because some people just, they don't know who you are, but they just think, oh, this looks like a cool thing. I want to give something. So I posted, if you give a dollar, I will yodel your name out of my tour van as I drive cross country.
I did notice
did
that
you
one.
See that one?
Yes.
I noticed you didn't pick it, and I appreciate that.
No, I was a little higher up there.
But the different levels are fun. And actually, we have one of the levels is $1,000 gets you your own house concert in your home or your business or wherever you choose to have it. And we've actually had 7 people pledge at that level, which is pretty cool. We had one just this morning. So. And then there's everything in between. We're going to have a t-shirt that's exclusive for backers and water bottles and one-on-one, you know, voice lessons, all kinds of things.
And you use the word pledge, which is important for Kickstarter because at this point they are only pledges until you reach your goal.
Right.
So people out there, have you gone to Kickstarter and made your pledge yet? We'll wait.
Right
okay.
Now. Okay.
All right.
Now.
Now that we've got that out of the
way. Well, and then the other side of it is, you know, if people pledge and then they forget they've done that, and then they go off and they buy themselves like a new sofa, and then my Kickstarter goes through, and then it overdraws their bank account or something.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not good.
That's yeah. So, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting scenario. So, if you had that sofa planned, you know, you might want to put it on hold till
wait,
this.
Wait, or maybe get an ottoman or something.
Yeah, right.
Like sectional.
Wait till your credit card gets charged first for this. So, you want to hit us up with another song that's on the forthcoming album?
Yeah, definitely. This one is a song about being a traveling vagabondy singer-songwriter type.
All right.
My boots mark the rhythm of a heartbeat, steady and light. The stars are thick as thieves, and the moon cuts a path through the night. It may seem suspiciously like I don't know where I am, but not knowing is the best part of the plan. So I'll give this a try with my eyes on the sky and my fingers crossed, just because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. You and I were different as the sun and the moon, brought up on commitment in the silver spoon. When love was the currency you wanted, security at any cost, just because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. Because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. Don't you wanna live so much bigger? Unburden your body and mind. We're already searching for meaning. We don't have to go searching blind. Every day we risk it for adventure, or money, or fame. 20 on a scratch ticket, or jumping headfirst out of a plane. We take a first step and hold on to our breath with our fingers crossed. Just because we're wandering doesn't mean we're lost. So I'm holding on with nothing but a song in my fingers crossed. Just because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. Just because you're wandering doesn't mean you're lost. Just because we're wandering.
Excellent. Again.
Thanks.
Wow.
So we were talking before we went live about what brought you this way. So for the sake of the two or three people out in Cape Ann and beyond who don't know the story, why don't you give us...
Yeah, aside from the ones who don't know, right? So to go way back, my great-great-great-grandfather... I'm kidding. I was just going to see if you would make a face.
Well, I mean, you never know.
I don't know anything about him. I should probably learn. I could look on Ancestry.com or something. So my parents, my mom is from Aberdeen, Maryland, and my dad's from New Jersey. And they went out to Texas for grad school in the 70s. And in 1980, they decided to do something different. And they didn't care what it was. They just did not want to be in Texas anymore. And there was a job opportunity in Alaska. And they left and they never came home. That's just what happened. So... You know, we were discussing earlier, we were talking about rock climbing and my folks actually really, that's what they did. They moved up there in 1980 and they took a mountaineering course and learned how to ice climb and build snow shelters and ski.
Most people in Texas don't even acknowledge that Alaska exists.
True, let alone unusual. That we're so much bigger than Texas, but are we really going to get into that?
No.
So it was an adventure for them. So they moved up there in 80. I was born in 83. My brother was born in 87. And And so then the adventure back was I went to Montana State for 2.5 years and studied classical voice and mostly just goofed off, skied and climbed and kayaked and all that.
Yeah.
And then took a year off and... Was accepted at Berkeley in Boston, and so headed out here. And I was in Boston for a couple years and was pretty overwhelmed by the big city. I know it's not big, and I know that now because I spent a lot of time in Manhattan and, you know, L.A. and Chicago, and I'm very comfortable navigating those things. But at the time, when I was 21, moving to Boston was pretty big deal. And so I sort of sought out some kind of refuge that thankfully wasn't at the bottom of a bottle somewhere. It was at the end of the MBTA and ended up in Rockport and loved it. And just started kind of making connections, moved away to Chicago for a while, moved to Nashville. But I decided to come back and stay with a friend in Rockport, I guess like 8 or 9 years ago. I don't even know. And started playing originally up at the Greenery in Rockport and the Blacksmith Shop when they were still open, and then started doing the open mics at the Rum Line and Captain Carlos and Cameron's and then doing gigs and getting paid, and here we are.
Wow, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yes.
Who studying classical, who are your influences? Who influences you in terms of singing and or songwriting?
Well, I wouldn't say there, you know, you're saying classical. As far as classical artists go, I don't listen to a whole lot of classical. I love Bocelli, and I'm just crazy about his stuff. But as far as people that have influenced kind of this whole singer-songwriter thing, I mean, I listen to a ton of John Denver and Carol King and Dan Fogelberg, Joni Mitchell, Judy Collins. My mom tells me I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah, really? sound very 60s.
Yeah. So my folks had a lot of tapes of all that stuff, mm-hmm. and that's what, you know, we just rock out to.
And the song you just played, when I interviewed Livingston Taylor, he intimated at desperation of a singer-songwriter in terms of wanting to keep going, to get heard and to make a living and mm-hmm. you know, to get the creative stuff out. And that sound... that. that was sort of like a mellow version of that.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, it's true. And I was talking with my girlfriend Megan today. She's Megan Burt. She's a fellow singer-songwriter in from Colorado right now. She's playing up at One Longfellow, little plug this evening, and I'm going to go hang with her up there in Portland, Maine tonight. And she and I have had that discussion a lot because she and I are both on the road a ton. And this last couple weeks, I was playing in Minneapolis and then she'd be there the next night. And then I'd be in Chicago. She'd be there the next night. So we're sort of tag teaming the Midwest and in between, you know, having 6, 7, 8 hour drives where you're not doing a whole lot else except thinking about, you know, songs or whether this is really worth it or not. You know, I mean, and it is, but it is difficult. It's hard. And, but ultimately it's, you know, it's who you are. It's part of who you are. And asking me to not play music anymore, as much as sometimes I have been in a place where I thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore because it just is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you do feel vulnerable a lot of the time. You're taking your heart and your soul and putting it into something. And if people say they don't like it, it's hard not to take that as a personal attack. And you learn how to do that. But I've totally gotten off subject here.
But no, that makes sense because I think the most, as an audience member, as a fan, the most important thing to me when I watch someone or want to go see someone is I want that person to be genuine and to be honest.
Right.
And if you don't, I mean, there are times I'm sure when you go out there, for whatever reason, and you feel like before you go on stage, it's like, I don't even know if I can do it tonight. But you find a way.
You do find a way. And you know what's really neat? And I don't know if we've talked about this a little bit, about Livingston as my mentor, and I tour with him a lot. And I was playing a show with him in Plymouth, Massachusetts last year. And it was in the middle of the winter. We had just had one of those huge snowstorms up here, and I had lost not only my keys, but my spare keys. Couldn't get into my car, let alone start it.
Yep.
And had a show that night. And, you know, we ended up finding both sets. One of them we didn't find until a few months later. It literally was at the bottom of a snowbank in a friend's yard. But anyway, I got a ride from two friends that agreed to leave earlier so I could get to my sound check. And, you know, South Shore traffic just makes you want to jump off a bridge. And so we got through all that. And I forget what there was something else about, like, my guitar. Something had happened to my guitar. And I think some of the bracings were loose and needed to be reglued. And I couldn't get it back from the shop. So I showed up at this show just frazzled as hell, mm-hmm. you know, with Liv, who I've played with before. And just exhausted and frustrated and didn't have a guitar. So I had to borrow his. And you know, had only gotten there because my friends had driven me my own show. And just was really kind of at my wit's end that night. And I got up there and started playing. And I was playing the song Never Saw Blue that's written by this guy down on the Cape named Thomas Keyes. And I don't know if it was like after the intro before I started singing or if I just stopped in the middle of the song and just started saying, guys, I can't tell you how I had the worst day today. And I feel like a million bucks right now being on this stage,
awesome,
being in front
awesome.
Of you. And it's true. It's like,
yeah.
You know, I just recently went through a breakup that I hadn't anticipated, as so often happens, you know, and it's been one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And the places where I feel the safest since then are doing yoga, hiking in the woods, and being on stage, you know, which is weird for some people. They think, God, really being on stage and pouring out your heart in front of people, but it is, it just, it's, that's a safe place for me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That is awesome.
It's awesome.
All right. Well, why don't we play one of the recorded tracks? Do you have anything queued up, or Rick?
Either one.
Which one would you like to start with?
I don't even remember what I sent you, so I'm going to let you pick.
Okay.
You have It Could Happen to You and Lonely Being Lonely.
Oh, wow. We sound very dark. Let's do It Could Happen to You.
Okay. All
right. So while he's queuing that up, you want to tell us about the song?
Sure. This is actually Gloucester-based story. I have a friend who's a playwright in Gloucester, and he wrote this really compelling black box theater piece, and it just blew my mind. Nick Nailoff, he's a wonderful actor and good friend, and anyway, he wrote this piece that just brought me to tears and blew me away and inspired me to write this song. happened to you? It's 20 to 12, the clock is saying it's over. You, it could happen to you. Your baby grows up to be a single mother. You, it could happen to you. You eat and you eat and you eat to cope with your anger. It could happen to you. Your knees and your joints can't take the weight any longer. Baby, you're so worried about me. We are saying about you. And before you know it slips out, you are talking to me too. Pushing, judging away. It could happen to you. Your muscles pull faces you never intended. You, it could happen to you. They twitch and they twist. Life as you know it has ended. It could happen to you. You can't go a day without a fix or an upper. It could happen to you. The booze or the pills or the touch of a lover. Worried about what they are saying about you. And before you know it slips out that you are talking as they do. Pushing, judging you. And your sneeze are heavy things, but if we carry them together, they'll get lighter as we go. Happen to you. Oh, it could happen. And yes, these are heavy things, but if we carry them together, they'll get lighter as we go. And yes, these are heavy things, but if we carry them together, they'll get lighter as we go.
Okay, we're back, and it can happen to you.
Sound like a show tune.
Yeah.
Like a rock opera show tune type thing.
So it can happen to you, it can happen to Rick, it can happen to
Yeah, we should have warned Chelsea that when we do, when we go to the recordings, the camera's still, I don't have any other videos I can pop in there yet.
That's funny. So this is being streamed online.
We're doing it live, and then it will be available on demand probably within 24 hours.
So that is so funny.
There's two simultaneous streams. There's an audio stream mm-hmm. and then the
right,
video stream.
And so. The video yep. stream, yeah. Good thing I wasn't doing anything weird.
I mean, I would have turned it away.
Yeah.
I bet.
No worries.
All right.
I got to ask you, all the places you've been to and that you go to, and usually I have these negative, dark questions that I want to ask, but I won't because that's not what we do. So I always ask, what's the most fun, most surprising, the best place that you've been? Is there one or two?
I will only answer that question if you ask me one of the weird questions afterward.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All right.
So okay, I will.
The best place, like the best place or the best venue?
Whatever. That the first thing that comes to mind that you're really, oh, this place is awesome. I love it. Good city, place, whatever it might be.
Well, I love Chicago. I love going to Chicago, and part of it is that it's sort of you know, a little vengeful, I think, because when I lived there, I was a rickshaw driver.
Oh, wow.
And
that would be a bicycle thing?
That would be a bicycle thing where you put tourists in the back and you bike them around. And so now when I go back, I so love being able to walk around or drive around or bike around the city and not have a giant tourist behind me whose weight I'm pulling around the city. So it is really fun because I know the city layout fairly well, and it's a big place. And I love going back there and walking along the waterfront and playing shows. And I've got a friend who has a really beautiful condo really close to the lake. And so I get to crash with her and goof off for a couple of days.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then the other thing that comes to mind when you say that is the Tupelo Music Hall in Londonderry, New Hampshire. I love that place so much.
I just heard of that place because I've had a friend go to it recently for some kind. And I thought it was in Mississippi. I'm thinking Tupelo. Who goes down Tupelo?
Okay. Or probably also, but... It's, and you know what, I maybe I shouldn't say this on the radio because I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard a rumor that they're actually moving from that space to another one, which is very sad to me because I love that space. It's about, you know, it seats maybe 250 people, and it's just an awesome space, and the sound is great, and it, you know, the lighting is beautiful, and it was one of the first places that really kind of gave me a leg up, so that's probably why
cool.
you know.
And one of the dark questions.
Oh, yeah, the dark question.
Yeah, well, it would be the opposite. Like, what's the worst place that you? Not necessarily. I don't want to hear any failures on your part, but a place that was really tough to get it done.
Maybe without specifically naming the.
Maybe without exactly. Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah, but it was really tough to get it done. You know, time particular.
Well,
or so.
Actually, you know what? This is. I can say exactly where this was. I won't say the venue, but I feel like we can sort of make fun of ourselves, right? And that's all right. So I won't say like, oh, when I went to Nashville or when I... one of the most depressing shows I ever played was in Cambridge. And this was before I really started picking up and, you know, touring and playing all over the place. But it was terribly depressing because I packed... This was back when I was having to carry all my gear with me. You know, I would bring the sound system with me. So I brought the sound system and brought the guitar and all the cables and drove into Boston in my beater car that I had at the time. It was this just junk box Saturn. I don't think it was even made of metal. I think it was made of plastic because an old man hit me in it one time and it just sort of popped back into shape again. And it was totaled because the frame was dented, but the body was plastic. I don't know. Anyway, I pulled my beater car up. I parked and I went in and unloaded and played this 3-hour show to this bar in Cambridge, which will remain unnamed. And it sucked. And, you know, there were only like 4 people there and I made $100. And then, you know, after three hours or whatever it was, and packed all my stuff up and went back out, and it's like 1 a.m. and I had a ticket on my car for $100.
Oh no. All right.
And it was like, what?
How poetic.
Oh, it's not poetic. It sucked. There's nothing poetic about that. It just sucked. So it's funny because people do ask you that. It's like, oh, where have, you know, I mean, I've played places where I've felt like it was a little skeezy or the audience was strange, and you know, you don't. The good thing is I don't feel like I remember stuff like that. You know, I remember good shows, and I remember weird things that people say. Like, I remember this woman coming up to me in Michigan a couple of years ago after the show and looking at me. I've got very short hair, right? And I know you guys can see that, but maybe the folks who are listening don't know that. I've got super short hair, and she looked at me after she saw me play, and then she looked at my CD cover, which had me with long hair. And then she said, you know, I think I liked it better when your hair was longer. You know, and I don't remember. I'm sure she said something nice about my music. And I'm sure there were plenty of other people that night who did too. But I don't remember any of that. I just remember thinking like, well, that's rude.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez. Well, at least you had that story about the $100. Without the ticket for $100, it wouldn't have been as good of a story.
I know. It's, well, and it's just, and that happens to us, and it happens to everybody. You know, it's just like one of those things where it's, you just sort of one thing after another days. But that's tough when you really are living one show to the next, mm-hmm. and when you're overdrawing your bank account, when you can't afford rent.
You know, yeah. it sounds like a sports thing, though, where you know, like a relief pitcher. You get shelled one night, yeah. you got to come back the next night and pitch again.
Yep.
You just have to put it out of your head somehow.
Right.
You know,
and some of it for, so a lot of these shows that you play when you're touring, when you're at the level I'm at, which is not, you know, I'm not making millions of dollars, but I'm doing pretty well yet. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's not, I'm not playing shows that I hate to play. I'm not playing, I get to say no to shows. But sometimes you do drive, you know, many, many hours to play a show. And if you only make, you know, enough to cover your gas and your food and everything to get out there in the turnaround all the way and come back, I can't say that I've paid to play a show for a while. So that's good. But, that's frustrating, but like you just said, inevitably, you know, the next night you're going to play a show and you sell 30 more CDs than you thought you were going to, or, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, this Kickstarter, somebody comes up afterwards and says, I really love your tunes. I'm going to donate. And then you look in a couple hours and they've thrown $1,000 at you, you know, it's, cool. So it does even out. And you were talking about Livingston asking or saying, you know, that it is difficult and you just have to put your music out there and you write songs about that stuff. You know, people who are happy all the time don't write very good music, probably, I would think.
I'm noticing that as I do this show here. I'm learning that.
Well, it's wonderful that you're at the stage that you can say no to shows, but I'm glad you didn't say no to this.
No, thank you. Well, I don't mean that.
I got one more weird
snotty.
Question.
Oh, yeah,
ask, can I add one more?
Ask away.
Okay, and I haven't asked
weird.
Of any of your guests.
I
yeah, this it. One, because you get a song stuck in your head and you hate it. Get out of my head, mm-hmm. I can't stand it. It's usually the last song, even if it's a great song on the radio.
Yeah, like 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's a great song.
Oh, God.
That is the worst.
So do your songs get stuck in your head? Your own songs?
Not necessarily in a bad way.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know what? Sometimes the newer stuff does. Yeah.
yeah.
Part of it, I think, is just because you're trying to write it. But the good thing is that newer, just no matter where you're at, like what time, you know, you get the stuff that you're working on stuck in your head. But lately, some of my stuff that I've been writing for this record has been getting stuck in my head. And I think it's because it's actually catchy stuff. And I'm hearing that from other people too, that just because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. People, it's so cool because I'll be on stage. The first time I played that was in California for one of Liv's audiences. And when this chorus came around the second time, people were singing it with me.
Ah, nice.
And they'd never heard it before because I'd never played it out before, you know? And so that for yourself, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. And I totally can relate to what you're talking about too, but it is exciting to have something that's catchy enough that it's starting to, you know, be on heavier.
Sounds like it's part of your creative process also.
Yeah. Yeah, when I hike, when I drive, I don't listen to music at all. I just put it on cruise control and just write songs.
Flow.
That's what I do. Yeah.
I have one more crazy question later at this time.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Do you want to hit up a piano song?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. Then you have to tell a joke while I'm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, Chelsea moves from one place to the next.
Do the fundraiser thing again.
Oh, the fundraiser. Yeah. So the fundraiser. Make sure you go to ChelseaBerry.com and look for the link about the Kickstarter program, or go to Kickstarter and just search for Chelsea Berry, because she is so close, and I would love in the next 20 minutes to be able to announce that she has indeed met her goal.
And we can put that on our resume, right?
Exactly. Just because of us.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, so let's, that mic sounded good?
It is.
All right, piano, all right.
Wonderful, thank you. So I mentioned this song earlier. This is that Thomas Keys tune. Could I have a little, I can hear that reverb there. Greg, can I have less of that, please? Thank you. It's all smoke and mirrors, people. Today, we took a walk up the street and picked a flower and climbed a hill above the lake. And secret thoughts were said aloud. We watched the faces in the clouds until the clouds had blown away. And were we ever somewhere else? You know, it's hard to say. 'Cause I never saw blue like that before. Across the sky, around the world, you're giving me all you have and more. And no one else has ever shown me how to see the world the way I see it now. Whoa. Never saw blue like that before. I can't believe a month ago I was alone. I didn't know you, I hadn't seen you or heard your name. And even now, I'm so amazed. It's like a dream, it's like a rainbow, it's like the rain. And some things are the way they are, and words they can't explain. But I never saw blue like that before. Across the sky, around the world, you're giving me all you have and more. And no one else has ever shown me how to see the world the way I see it now. Whoa, I never saw blue like that before. And it feels like now, and it feels always, and it feels like coming home. I never saw blue like that before. Across the sky, around the world, you're giving me all you have and more. And no one else has ever shown me how to see this world the way I see it now. Never saw blue like that before. Oh, I never saw blue.
Excellent again.
Thank you.
So I saw you once at Giuseppe's, and you played.
Oh,
I think
gosh.
You played a couple songs on
yeah.
piano, but you commented about maybe not being so comfortable on piano. So, how do you feel? Do you typically do a lot of piano live? Or?
I'm doing more. I definitely am doing more. I have spent a lot more time over the last few years in front of a piano, and it's made me more comfortable. I like the way I sing better when I'm on piano. Mm-hmm. I think that piano sort of allows me a little bit more vocal freedom, and I'm not sure why that is, because obviously it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But I feel like it does. So I really enjoy it now. I mean, it's definitely a little bit nerve-wracking, especially when I'm doing newer stuff. I've been playing that song for a while, so that's not the case. But
Where'd you go on that song? Because you went away.
Oh, did I go
away?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you were off somewhere else.
Out-of-body experience there, yeah.
Good. Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes when you play a lot, you can go elsewhere. And you have to be a little bit careful, because either you go elsewhere and you get sidetracked and forget where you're at, or you go elsewhere and you get so emotionally wrapped up in the song that you start becoming emotional physically, and that doesn't work very well either.
Uh-huh.
That happened to me recently, actually. I was playing with Livingston on September 10th in Pennsylvania, and at the end of the night we did America the Beautiful and then God Bless America, and the whole audience stood and started singing it with us, and I just choked up. And I could not sing. Every time I tried to, I would start crying. And so I stepped aside from the mic and mouthed it as though I were singing it. But,
it's funny.
Wow.
There's a stanza or a verse in there where it says, whose hero they love country more than self, or something or mm-hmm. other. And we sing it at church. And every time we get to that, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It's wonderful, though. It's
oh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about how, not to get too political here, but I've talked about it with Liv, and I've talked about it with many people, that I understand that the reason why our national anthem is what it is, and I get where it comes from. And, you know, my brother was a Marine Scout sniper, and I've got lots of military on both sides of my family. So no disrespect meant to the military or anything that anyone has done. But I do love those other songs, you know, God Bless America, Land That I Love, Stand Beside Her and mm-hmm. Guide Her, you know, talking about, you know, America the Beautiful, and it's more about love and supporting each other rather than surviving a night of war, which,
right,
you know, but the reason that we are here to love and support each other is because we did survive a night of war, so I suppose it goes both ways, you know.
Right, because yeah. it had that battle turned out differently, we might be singing God Save the Queen, so...
That's right.
She's okay. She's all right.
Yeah,
she's all right.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh.
All right. Now, Rick had another weird question.
Yeah,
why don't we let him?
And it goes with the creative process, I guess. I teach math, or I taught math for a long time.
Wonderful.
And sometimes I was taking a course, I'd get stuck on it. One time I was stuck on a problem. I worked on a problem for 22 hours and couldn't get it right when I was taking a graduate course in math. But you keep working on it, as you do with when you're driving, and you're creating while you're driving or walking. Or am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop it. You can't turn it off. But sometimes you need to turn it off. So fall asleep, subconscious takes over, wake up at 3 a.m., you dumbass, I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to sleep, and you have it. It's not a dream. Happened to you at all?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and then you wake up and you can't remember.
No. No, this is the beauty of it. It's when the subconscious works. You work on something mm-hmm. so long, I finally just say, okay, I can't do mm-hmm. it. I'm going to have to ask somebody, go to sleep. And it's happened a few times, not often, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a creative person. But I just wonder, have you ever had an incident like that where, you know, you're working on something and it's just not quite there. But then for some reason, doesn't have to be you're asleep, but some reason something else kicks in and there it is. You've
absolutely
got it.
And for me, a lot of my songwriting process is putting pieces of a puzzle together. Not so much sitting down writing a song from start to finish, but realizing later on that aha moment, you know, realizing that lyric I was looking for is actually in a song I wrote back in January that I never used.
Or
somebody says something to you in conversation, and like you said, it is subconscious, because ultimately the reason you come around to that aha moment is because whether you realize it or not, you're putting it out to the world that you need that answer, you know? Mm. And which, that's why I think living mindfully and living with intention is important, because if you put your intentions out there, it's not like they magically come to you. But if I say, these are the things I want in my life, or I'm looking for this lyric, or I can't think of what this chord change needs to be, but I put it out there, and whether I realize it or not, I'm more open to receiving those answers when I've put it out there than if I don't, you know? And so, yeah, I agree with you 100%. On that. And actually, I wanted to ask you, so what level of math are you teaching?
Oh, just high school.
Awesome. I love math. And I wanted to say, you're absolutely creative. You have to be creative to be a mathematician.
Well,
I think you do.
The thing I talked to you a little bit about before we were talking with Livingston, I found that with my kids, every now and then there'd be a kid who would teach me something. Mm-hmm. More often than not, but I'm talking about in that process of learning. You know, the kid knows something that with all my experience, oh, crap, I didn't know that. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And mm-hmm. When you guys were on stage, I mean, he looked to you as a co-equal.
Well, and he says that to you now. It's very cool. It's gone from, you know, this is my student or whatever, to this is my, you know, this is my coworker. This is my my friend.
Collaborator, so on.
And we do. I mean, we just made a record together in Brooklyn last year. It's coming out, I think, in January. And I'm singing on at least half of the tracks, you know, and it is. It's really neat to be in that space with him and to feel not like I'm there because he's doing me a favor, but because he respects me and respects what it is that I bring.
Yeah, that was obvious at the Shalom. Obvious, yes. It was very impressive, I might add, also. It was great.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And the other thing was what was cool is that he said she's one of ours, you know. I didn't know you're from Alaska, you know, or whatever.
Well, I mean, I am. I am one of...
She's here by choice. She is one of us.
That may be even better.
Yeah. And that's cool. I mean, it's... Gloucester is absolutely... I mean, I have lived a lot of other places, and Gloucester is my second home, for sure. You know, I certainly spend a lot more time here than I do in Alaska now.
You going to do another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do the other track you sent us. Give us a chance to stretch. Mm-hmm. So, anything you want to say about this track while he's queuing it up?
Oh, maybe
on the other end of it.
Well, it's a little bit. Like, this is how they do it on NPR. Yeah. Okay.
That's right. We talk over it.
There you
I
go.
Talk about, you know, it's just so emotional.
Okay, here we go.
Affect those without voices. Is it lonely? Can you say you're truly happy telling lies and making errands up to cover all the tracks you've left to and from his bed? And those footprints in the dirt, they trace the pain and hurt of the story. Lonely being alone. Now his make-believe's your business, and his frailty your weakness. Does it haunt you when he tells you she's cruel? Do you smile and play the fool because it wants you? Would you give up everything you've worked for your whole life? Poverty when no one knows your name. Without cover of the night, would you still be the light he is drawn to? Where
All right, we're back. This is Greg Verga here, and that was Chelsea Berry. And Chelsea, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're doing a Facebook Live right now just so we can remind people about the Kickstarter program because we're up against it now.
We are up against it. We are. So we have 3 days, I think, as of 3:30 now. Yeah, so we've got 3 days to raise the remaining, I think we are $689 short of our goal. So
all right.
We could totally do it.
So people can do that. So they can go to chelseaberry.com. Look for the link for Kickstarter, or they can go to Kickstarter and search for Chelsea Berry.
That's right.
And also your music, and people can probably hear my dog in the background barking. I apologize. Somebody must have walked by the house. He doesn't like that. They can get your music that's available already at chelseaberry.com or the other usual suspects such as?
iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all of that.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to sign off of Facebook Live. And thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate you taking time out of your...
This is wonderful.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
This has been...
You never know when somebody says, come and hang out in my basement. You never know.
I'm sure you get that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you guys get that all the time. Yeah, this is wonderful.
I think
really cool.
Some people have more creepy things going on in their basements, but that's not the case here.
No, it's fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate
So just want to say thank you to Chelsea Berry for coming in, and it was really a pleasure to have you here. And Rick, I'm having trouble with the tune, so maybe you could just run the end of Chelsea's last song for a fade out.
Did you have you want to mention your sponsor?
Yeah, I've got that list right here. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Extreme Truck and Auto, at 14 Condolin Road, Gloucester, Mass. You can reach him at 978-281-0339. And we could don't forget the Enjoy Gloucester Comedy Night with Frank Santos Jr., the R-rated hypnotist, November 26th from 8 to 12. Tickets are on Eventbrite or the Enjoy Gloucester Facebook page. Coming up next on the 9th of November at 3 o'clock, we have Alan Estes. And then on the 16th of November, we have Megan Wolf. So Greg Verga here with Rick Moore saying thank you for tuning in to Unfinished Music. See you next time.
Your knees and your joints can't take the weight any longer. Baby, you're so worried about me. We are saying about you. And before you know it slips out, you are talking to me too. Pushing, judging your way. You, it could happen to you. Your muscles pull faces you never intended. You, it could happen to you. They twitch and they twist. Life as you know it has ended. It could happen.